Nancy has the order.
Case number 25-011.
Chief, you get a dinner break. I have an option. It's 2 in the morning.
Nice to see you guys.
It's been a long time. Okay. Sergeant, please identify yourself, your agency.
Good afternoon. Sergeant John Iommazzo, IOMMAZZO. Waterbury Police Department is issuing authority. Detective Edward Mills, M-I-L-L-S.
Thank you. You may proceed. Opening statement.
So the issuing authority denied the appellant on the issue of suitability. And one of the main issues, the mainest issue, I know that's not a word, but the largest issue was stemming from an incident that occurred in 2015. And the underlying conduct of the appellant in that incident weighed very heavily on the decision of her suitability to have a permit and carry a firearm within the state of Connecticut.
Would you like to make a brief opening statement as to what you would like us to know?
So in 2000, there was an incident. I'm pardoned since 2021. I don't have no record. I haven't gotten no trouble in contact with the law whatsoever. I work 2 jobs. This incident that happened in 2015 changed, you know, a lot of stuff in my life. I had to go away. I was never convicted of any felonies. It's 3 misdemeanor charges. I'm not the same person. A lot of the decision is based off of, I was with a partner that got in trouble. That's what they're going off of, because the response when they denied it, they sent me a letter saying that they denied me for an incident that happened with my boyfriend in 2015, which he had his own charges and I had misdemeanor. And like I said, I'm pardoned since 2021 and I haven't been in any trouble since that incident, which is almost 10 years.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Can I ask the sergeant one question? And
sure.
I believe it's a typo. On our questionnaire,
yeah,
it says on 10/17/2022, the appellant's, and then it's on, was sent to the hospital. I'm assuming that's the appellant's son.
Son, yes.
Just wanted to make sure it wasn't her that had it here. No big deal. I sort of figured it out, but I just wanted to make sure.
I got fat fingers.
That's no problem. I just wanted to make sure I had that right. Sorry about that.
Nope, that's okay.
It was just a little different case if they were here.
I know. So the appellant is aware of the situation, and I think she's dramatically under-emphasizing the importance of this situation. Although her charges at the time was a misdemeanor charge, I think the underlying event was fairly significant. Detective Mills here is here to testify on that incident, only because she's right. There is a pardon. The charges were removed, but Detective Mills was actively a participant in multiple aspects of this incident.
So let's hear what he has to say.
Okay. So Detective Mills, how long have you been employed with the Waterbury Police Department?
I've been employed since 1988.
A couple of years. And were you working with you obviously working with the department back in 2015?
Yes, sir.
In what capacity were you working in 2015?
In 2015, in the present capacity now, I'm assigned to the U.S. Marshals Violent Fugitive Task Force. All
right. So as part of the Violent Fugitive Task Force, what is sort of the main focus of that task force to do what?
So the main focus is obviously arresting and apprehending, locating violent felons, and assisting other local agencies through the Marshal Service throughout the region in Connecticut and the United States. We'll take leads, we'll conduct investigations, and we'll assist in other agencies that can't locate fugitives that are on the run or just they can't find them.
And as a task force, what's the makeup of that task force? Is it just purely U.S. Marshals or?
No, it's actually made up with what we call task force officers, which are multiple officers from different agencies throughout Connecticut. We also use ICE, Homeland Security. We have had probation and parole officers on it, as well as the Marshal Service employees.
Would Watertown Police be one of those agencies that had a task force officer at the time?
Watertown did have someone at the time on the task force, yes.
Which, on March 15th of 2015, is that what brought you into this incident?
Yes, in fact, it is. There was an incident in Watertown involving a stabbing incident with an individual, Jamar Smith, who is the boyfriend and...
At that time.
At that time, father and one of the children that they're related. And in that incident, it was a bar incident that broke out at a place called the Red Door. Stemming from the incident, there were multiple arrests, including Jamar, who was issued a warrant. And
what were the charges that he was he was being sought on, or what? Or
yeah,
what
he was being charges? So he was being sought for a criminal attempt at murder, assault first, reckless endangerment, and there was a couple other misdemeanor charges in there.
Significantly violent charges.
Significantly violent charges. Okay. So, like I said, it was a melee. There were multiple people involved in it, including the appellant, who was at the seat at the time. And Watertown provided all that information to us. We put together a case packet. Once we had obtained all the information on this one outstanding person who had serious felony warrants, we looked in multiple places in Watertown. Unable to locate him, we developed information which led us to an address in Waterbury, which is the appellant's home address.
Appellant's home address. Did you, along with the task force, respond to that address in Waterbury?
We did, and that was so that incident, the stabbing incident, and the fight that ensued there inside that establishment was in March, like I said, at the beginning of April. I'm not sure the exact date. It was right around the 1st of April or something there.
April 1st.
April 1st. We responded to a address in Waterbury of 53 Welch Street, which is the appellant's residence. It's a single-family home. Upon arriving at the residence, we knocked, announced our presence. We set up a perimeter on the outside, as we usually do. After several minutes, the door was answered by the appellant, and we asked and explained that we were here. We were looking for her boyfriend, Jamar Smith, that he had outstanding felony warrants, and that we needed to know if he was in the residence. Being that it's a third party in nature, after some conversation, the appellant consented, allowed us to search the residence. We went inside. We did a pretty good conductive search. We did an interview. We obtained some information from the appellant. Not finding the party in there at that time, we moved on to other locations, continued looking for him.
If I could just back up a second. When you initially spoke with the appellant at the door and you explained that you were looking for him, did you advise her what the charges were that he was wanted on?
Yes, we did. We told her there were felony charges. We told her that it was a criminal attempt at murder, assault, and we also advised the appellant that we believe that the two of them are together still. She stated multiple times to us that since the incident, she had not seen or heard or had any dealings with him at all.
Okay. So you were unable to locate him. You continued the investigation. What was born out of that investigation after that initial visit to the appellant's address?
So after the initial visit, we continued searching several locations. At one point, myself and USMS James Masterson, who's now retired, was my working partner at the time. We obtained information from the task force officers from a confidential source that the appellant was still having relations with Mr. Smith, that individual, and that they were, in fact, staying at the Wall Street address, and that they had devised a plan that when we were to go and look for them, that they would hide him in a wall somewhere inside the first floor of the house.
All right. So did you then respond back to that address at some point?
We did. During the month of May, and this was, like I said, some time had gone on between April and then. It was probably towards the end of May. I think it was around the 26th or 27th.
27th, yes.
We returned to that location. When we got to the location, again, set up a perimeter. We got there at a different time. We knocked and announced our presence for probably 10 or 15 minutes, at which time the door was answered from behind, from the appellant, recognized the voice. I'll be there in a minute. Came to the door. We had a conversation. We told her we believed he was in the house again. We asked who else was in the house at that time. She said, he has not been there. I have since completely broke off. I have no contact with him whatsoever. And she stated that the only person who was in the house at the time was her juvenile daughter. We asked again if we could come in and search. She actually gave consent again. We went in, we started conducting a search in the house. And during that search, we knew in particular areas we were looking to possibly find this individual. We actually went to an area in the kitchen, and we believe that the area in the kitchen where this individual may be was behind this large refrigerator. Upon trying to move the refrigerator, myself and DUSM Masterson found the refrigerator to be quite heavy. Upon opening the lower portion of the fridge, we found our subject target, Mr. Smith. He was inside, the shelves had been removed. He was in what I would call a seated, almost fetal position. And in the position he was in there, there was no way he could put him in there by himself. At which time, based on the appellant's statements that he wasn't in the house, she was advised and she was made aware that she could have been arrested on scene due to the fact that there were issues with juvenile children in the house and whatnot. We told her we would be seeking a warrant for her for arrest for hindering second.
All right, so by the time you left, she was well aware that it was known that she had participated in the, and that there would be charges brought against her. Okay. All right. Okay. That's the 2015 incident. I do have some other incidents.
Do you have any more for this witness?
I think he's eloquently explained the.
Well, no, but she has a chance to cross examine.
Right. No, I know. I just.
Before
if she has any
on,
questions, yeah, that's
move
fine.
On to other things.
That's fine. Yeah, if she would like to question, that's fine.
Okay, so if you would like to ask him any questions about that, you can ask him questions right now. You can present your case when everybody with when they're done.
Okay. I really don't have no questions. A little of the information is off, but overall, I don't have any questions.
Okay, you can tell us when it's your turn.
Yeah, and I will tell my.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask her a question?
Sure.
Regarding this? Do you dispute any of the details or that this incident took place at all?
No, I don't dispute that it took place. It did take place.
Okay. Were you subsequently, was there a warrant subsequently placed for you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And those, what was the result of those charges?
The result was, well, altogether, the whole case, I had, they knocked my charge down to a breach of peace, interfering with an officer. The breach of peace is from the bar incident. And it was interfering with an officer for me not being honest with him when he knocked on the door.
So now you mentioned that you had a pardon. Does that mean that you were found guilty of those charges and then sought the pardon afterwards?
I was found guilty of interfering with an officer. And then I have a pardon, so I can honestly say that I have no record.
Okay. I don't have any questions regarding this instance.
Okay. Anything about the?
No,
okay. That was the largest item for us as an issuing authority because it although it was a good portion of time ago, I think this the seriousness of it to actively participate in secreting away someone wanted for an attempted murder, a violent crime that involved multiple agencies across a good section of time to locate him, to actively participate in that. That was the largest thing that demonstrated you know, not being suitable to having a firearm. I can't fathom in my head removing shelves from a refrigerator to hide someone, knowing full well, having been at the establishment when the incident occurred, as well as knowing that there's now subsequent charges over a period of time, to remove shelves and put someone in there on at least two occasions. So I think that was a significant thing for the issuing authority.
Does the board have any questions before we go to the appellant?
I was going to ask, from your CI, do you believe that the individual was there the first time you went?
Yes, yes. The CI was a credible source.
Thank you.
And we kind of sought the downside of that, realizing afterwards when we were there that, like, we screwed up the first time because we didn't look in the fridge. We didn't know to look in the fridge.
No dog?
Yeah.
No dog?
No.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Anybody else? Okay, now you can tell us.
I'm sorry.
And he's got more.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have more stuff?
I do have more that I really want the board to sort of weigh upon. I'm well aware how the board stance is on associations of stuff, but at the time, the appellant has, he's now 18, but at the time, several incidents with a juvenile son. And although she was the victim in one of the incidents, her juvenile son was violent with a weapon, resulting in the police being called in 2022. And then there was a second incident in 2022 where the juvenile son was sent to the hospital on a peer form due to some suicidal statements, and there was some violence involved with that as well. I want to sort of limit that to sort of maintain some of the privacy in some of those incidents, but there's been ongoing police contact with her address, with the appellant's address, and her son, who is, if I'm not mistaken, currently incarcerated under some very serious violent charges as well, again, also involving a gun. So I think the totality of all of these incidents, I think the appellant is always involved in some situation where poor decision making and violence is involved, especially including weapons. So that weighs heavily on the issuing authority as well.
I'm sorry.
Would you like to ask him any questions about what he just said?
Was there any weapons found at all in my house with the incident with Jamar that happened 2015? Was I aggressive? I did lie. I do take accountability. And at that moment, I didn't realize the depth of the situation. But there was no weapons found. Nobody's life was in, you know, if there was a weapon, and it could have came out different. But nobody's life was, you know, nobody was injured. There was no firearms found, and I cooperated. I opened the door. I was in a bad relationship with this man for years and years. My daughter even called at one point to let you guys, like, I didn't tell all this. My daughter is one person that called anonymous and said that he was there. I was in a bad relationship with this man. I have, DCF came involved. I had to go away for this. The first time they came to my house, he was not at my house. He was in Baltimore. I found out later. The second time he came, yeah, I did make a bad decision by not being honest and saying that he was there.
A little out of order. Yeah, you finished with your presentation?
I think I might answer one of your questions.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. And I'm going to tread lightly because, again, I'm not sure where the investigation is on this. But so the appellant's juvenile son was involved in a shooting incident at their home. The appellant drove her juvenile son to the hospital with a gunshot wound. At which point, that's when the police investigation began. The appellant was cooperative to a certain degree. The juvenile son was not, refused any follow-up investigations, would not provide any detailed information. So I'm not really sure where the investigation sits at this time because of the appellant's son's history, as well as involvement in other incidents. I know by your look. I'm sorry. I'm
sorry. It's on
I just
face.
Was only allowed to give so much information because of potentially ongoing investigations.
Thank you. But the occurrence location?
Was the appellant's home.
Thank you.
Okay, and do you think the appellant knew more than she was saying? You said she cooperated somewhat. Much like 2015, she was holding something back?
I wasn't there. I've discussed it with our you know, detective bureau. I could say that I think that maybe she does know more. She said she was at work, but I don't know. I just think that when somebody comes to your home and shoots your son and nobody knows anything, it was as random as it seemed.
I have an issue with the, if we're gonna use that against her, and I need to know why we're gonna use it against her. I think I would know more.
I think it shows the totality. I think it shows the totality of the incident. Just to sort of circle back to one thing that the appellant said, that, you know, no, you're right. She's right on the application. She could put down that she's not been arrested. But in the last 10 years, there's been over 30 interactions with the Waterbury Police Department. There's been over 75 interactions with the Waterbury Police Department in the last 25 years. So she is no stranger to the Waterbury Police Department. I don't know what the number is of other agencies throughout the state. So, and as by Detective Mills, you know, she's at least known to the Watertown Police Department. So, I don't think she's a stranger to law enforcement in any way, shape, or form. And I think that that long history of being involved with law enforcement, either as a victim, a witness, or a complainant, or an arrestee in her admission, I think she's well versed in how to interact with the police. Any law enforcement agency, in terms of being forthcoming or not. And that should show towards her suitability of being able to make decisions and also having a firearm in her home with, you know, if her son should again reside with her.
I want to let her respond to all this because yep. We've been kind of sliding around.
I don't apologize.
Yeah, it is your turn now, so please, go ahead.
I take accountability for what I have done. Other than I don't commit crimes. I go to work. I work two jobs. After this happened, I went to college. I volunteered, like I help other people at North Dakota Valley College. I have a drug and alcohol counselor certificate. I work as a CNA. I wake up every day and I'm helping people. I work at Waterbury Hospital. I don't think that I should be judged on something that somebody else does, but I do take accountability. And if I said I was at work, did you guys call the job to confirm? I was at work. My son is a victim in what you're talking about. My son did not go to jail in this case that you're talking about, the one in 21, when I bring him to the hospital. No, I do not know what happened to him. Somebody came to my house and shot him. Could he have possibly been into some situation outside? Of course. I did not know. I was at work. I came home from work. I drove him to the hospital. I called the police. I always cooperated. Accountability, yes, I do take accountability when they came to my house and I wasn't straight honest with them. I'm not a violent person. I never got in trouble after this. Every day I wake up, I'm going to work, I'm helping people, I'm helping save lives. I'm not that person that I was when I was with that guy. I changed. I accomplished a lot of things since then.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions?
The sergeant.
Yes.
Sergeant represents a longer history than represented in the letter for 2015. What has your interactions with police officers been in the last 5 years? How many incidents would you say you were involved with directly, or your address?
My address with my son. So the thing that happened in 2021. Nothing with me, nothing that nobody came and investigate me, nothing that has to do with me. Also, my son does not live with me. I'm the only one at the home. And I've been like that for almost 2 years. I'm the only one in the home.
So how many times has the police been in your house in the last 5 years?
Twice for my son. Okay. Two times to ask questions about my son. And he was a victim. I'm the one that called the police in 2021 in the accident that he's talking about. I called the police. Nobody else called.
So Sergeant, would you agree with that?
So like I said, whether she's a victim, a complainant, or some involvement of an incident, I have about 7 or 8 going back to 2020. She is right, you know, her son isn't in the home, but is it true that he'll be released shortly in the next year and a half or?
Yes, and he's not coming to live with me. He's gonna be out on his own. At that, I am still his mother. I will be in contact. I will help him get his life in order, and I want him to be on the right track. Yes, he made a mistake. At this time, he was 15, 16 years old. He's 18 now. The people deserve a second chance. And not only that, you cannot, this stuff that you're saying, yeah, you're right, but it has nothing, it's not me. I'm not an aggressive person. I'm not a violent person. My son takes accountability too. He's young. He's paying for his mistakes, and that's gonna follow him. And one day he's gonna apply for a pardon so he could be a better person too.
Anything else? Okay. Well, I think we've pretty much wrapped everything up. We've been bouncing out of order here, but I can't imagine any...
I apologize.
No, it's my fault, not yours. So, I think...
Closing statement.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to say anything else? It's up to you. I think we understand where you're...
Yeah, I take accountability for what I have done. Do I think about it? Yes. Has people's life, you know, police, especially with the time period that we are, they work hard, they put their life on the line. Somebody that I know just was shot from a young person, you know, in Waterbury. Yeah, it's violent, you know, I take accountability for that. But should I be punished or recommended my whole life? It's been years, I haven't gotten no trouble myself. Even my son, when he was in trouble, like, I'm a single mother. I can't raise no man. All I could do is give you the tools to be a better person in life. I always worked my whole life 2-3 jobs. I never was in the street. People make mistakes, but I can't be held accountable for everybody else, only myself. I don't do certain things. I be careful who I'm around now. That situation, even though it's misdemeanors, it changed my life dramatically. I was away from my children. Like, a lot of things occurred, but when I came home, I did a little bit of time. I came home, I went to school, I went to get a degree. I continued to work. I'm not a bad person, like, and I'm not a bully. I don't pick on people. I'm not an aggressive person.
Thank you.
I appreciate the appellant's honesty. I don't think she's necessarily a bad person. I think she surrounds herself with people that make really bad choices that influence her in the wrong way. We many, many cases come before you. We talk about time. We're still in the 2022-2023 time frame. So we're really only maybe 2, at most 3 years away from the most recent thing where, saying her son was committed after a violent incident at her home. A little bit longer than that, the same year was the shooting at her home. So I'm not saying that I think she's on a great path. I think if she keeps it up and continues, I wish her all the best. But from the issuing authority's perspective, we don't believe that enough time has occurred in putting a firearm in that environment where firearms and weapons have been a concern. The issuing authority is not comfortable with that, only because allowing easy access to someone else gaining access to a weapon is of grave concern. Grave concern.
I just want to say one more thing. I apologize. The incident even with Jamar wasn't a pistol. He did a stabbing that I was unaware of. Everything is on camera. Like, when he did the stabbing, I was nowhere around. I found out after, but that was with a pocket knife. There was no pistol involved in that. I just want that to be noted. And if I do get my permit, you have to have it locked up. You're responsible for that. You have to have it, you know, locked to the ground so nobody would have access but myself. It has to be locked up. Nobody's in my home.
Comments by the board.
Tough case, right? It's the individual, not the people around you. The amount of contact with law enforcement at your home is concerning. So, tough case. We saw one earlier where a tumultuous relationship, long-term, led to some bad decisions and happenings. And see that here in 2015. A lot to consider, but you obviously understand the conditions surrounding why there is concern on behalf of the Waterbury Police Department.
I do, absolutely.
Okay.
Start over there.
Yeah, you know, I always struggle with the incident, which the detective related. No, that was one of the more thought out incidents that I think we've heard. It seems like she has separated herself from that person that it was 10 years ago. Sergeant used the term secreting. Never heard that. It's a good word of the day. But I always have trouble when, since then, it seems like surrounds herself, it's all that her son. We haven't had any testimony that it's anybody else yet.
Most recently.
Yeah.
Most recently.
The last 21, 22, 23 has always been her son. But I also empathize very much about that many calls for service, bringing a gun into that situation, especially when there was 2 years ago the shooting there, which seems to be open.
To the best of my knowledge.
Oh,
that was shared
with
me.
That's fine. Yep.
Well, that's the issue I have, too.
Yep.
I mean, you're applying something that she knows more, and she's not saying it, and you may even know that, but you're not saying it, so...
We have no evidence that she knows.
I understand.
No,
that.
I know that, but...
She has testified that she was overworked. I'm just...
They could have called my job as well and followed up. I was at work.
No, once o'clock.
Yes.
No one is saying the appellant was there necessarily.
And he's incarcerated for another year plus.
Correct. Involving a firearm.
It is tough.
I don't know how the board's going to vote, obviously, but so you know, if the board were to say right now it's too soon after these other incidents, you can reapply in the future, and perhaps by then their attitude will have changed, your record will have stayed clean, and the result might be different. Again, I don't know how they're going to vote, but that's just something to keep in mind. Okay, speaking of voting, let's start here. Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Yeah, me too. Issuing authority.
Carter Lewis.
I won't say appellant.
Colonel Overturf.
I'm going to say issuing authority at this time.
Let's see here. Mr. Gray.
10 years pardon. I'm going to say appellant.
Okay. I would say issuing authority at this time, and I urge you to reconsider applying for a permit when you're next allowed.
How long can I have to wait?
She's
well past
her.
Yeah,
she's
well past
her.
Okay, so you can reapply at some point, and hopefully you can get rid of that.
Okay.
Good luck with yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.